Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is our home show, middle show of the work week. That will not change. NBA playoffs now underway. Whether or not you like the play-in tournament, it sure featured a lot of star power to start in the Western Conference with a bunch of future Hall of Famers. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, they've moved on into the main bracket. A rematch in the Western Conference Finals from a year ago against the Denver Nuggets. And in the second game, is this the end of an era for the Golden State Warriors, and how satisfying for the Kings, as not only do they get some redemption, a little vengeance, if you will, but also could be the ones against their Bay Area big brothers to say sayonara to that core three. Wow, it's tough to think about, but that's where the Warriors are now, even as the Kings face forward.
Here's Davion, hesitates, circles under the basket, lobs it out to Alex Lynn, hands to Keegan, rocks, fires, scores! Oh, that was a quick release that time, and it had to be because Draymond Green was right there. Fox now blitzes by Draymond Green, hooks the pass to Ellis, ball fake inside, now drive, sets up the alley-oop, and the conversion by Domantas Sabonis. Add another assist.
One of the things we talked about in a before the game is in a one-game series, usually it's about which team can impose their will on the other team for as close to 48 minutes as possible. And our guys responded.
That's the voice of Mike Brown, who, of course, knows Steve Kerr very well. They worked together for years. He leads his Kings in a rout of the Warriors on this Tuesday night. It's After Hours on Infinity Sports Network, and we're pleased to welcome Sean Cunningham from Sacramento, covers the team for the radio network as well as for Fox 40 in the Bay Area. Sean, what's the difference between the game tonight and the game 7 a year ago in which the Warriors won?
Well, that's a good question. I hadn't really thought of it like that because there are so many differences in terms of these two teams meeting up in this play-in tournament and what that 7-game series looked like for Sacramento and even Golden State when you talk about just the young players that kind of emerged in the season, especially on the Warriors side. You see them starting a guys like Trace Jackson Davis and Brandon Podziemski, and obviously we saw the way a guy like Kevon Looney really disrupted Domantas Sabonis in that 7-game series, and Domas had kind of an up-and-down series, and once it seemed like Draymond Green stomped on his chest, things were officiated a little bit differently, and he was really struggling with physicality. So you fast-forward to something like tonight, and interesting thing, and just if people hadn't been paying attention to the Kings and Warriors, and particularly that matchup since that 7-game series, you're talking about you get to the preseason, you play them twice. One of those games is a one-point victory, or a one-point game, I should say. And then you get them four times in this regular season, and three of those four games are one-point decided advantages. They're decided by 1 point. So this is something that these teams hang their hat on, is just how similar that they are and how dramatic these games are, and they're always coming down to the wire. So obviously Sacramento limping into the play-in tournament, having lost you know, like 5 of 6, I think it was at one point, and losing some really disappointing games where, you know, some big leads had been kind of washed away by the opposition. And obviously you've got two major, major injuries to Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk, and somebody like Monk, who plays such a vital role with this team for Sacramento and also in this series with the Warriors. You come in that to this year, this play-in game, and you see a team like the Warriors, who had won like 12 of 15, I think it was,
right,
really kind of playing their best basketball at a certain point. So it all kind of culminated. It's like none of that really matters because you're only playing a one-game winner-take-all scenario. So I liked Sacramento's chances, but didn't think it would be a blowout, and I honestly didn't think that the Kings would be able to pull it off. The two things we knew about both these teams is they cannot hold on to a lead, and here's Sacramento giving up the lead at one point. The Warriors come storming back, and then the Kings just turned it right on them.
They not only pulled down 15 offensive rebounds and a bunch of second-chance points, they shot the lights out from beyond the arc, often finding a wide-open man who could hit the three, and then forcing the 16 turnovers, which is often the Golden State Achilles heel. What did you see in their defense in this game?
Well, and that's something I think it was nice to see this game on national TV for people to learn the strides that Sacramento have made defensively, really since the All-Star break. And you talk about guys like Keon Ellis, a former two-way player, undrafted out of Alabama, a former JUCO player. And then you get a guy like Davion Mitchell, who's obviously a national champion with Baylor, and Keegan Murray, who's really emerged as one of the team's best defenders, as they like to throw his length at Steph Curry and a lot of guards in this league. But really, Sacramento's defense has been kind of the story. And it's funny because last year they were this high up-tempo, efficient shooting team that set a record for offensive efficiency. And this year, they knew they were going to probably take a little step back in that department. They still want to play fast and be this high-paced offense. But Mike Brown comes in as a defensive coach and says, no, we will be known as a defensive team. We want to play physical. We want to play fast. And here they are emerging on national TV to show what this team has been capable of over the past few weeks, even in light of these injuries to Kevin Huerter. So I think it was a big feather in the cap for those players to kind of show what they've been working on this season, and it certainly paid off tonight.
Sean Cunningham is with us from Sacramento in the wake of the franchise big victory over the Golden State Warriors, who are now done, but the Kings move on. Why did they struggle so much with New Orleans this season?
That is the bugaboo. I mean, it is funny. We talk about it every single – I mean, even when they're not playing the Pelicans, they went 0-5 against them this season, and – just comes down to length and physicality. Those teams have tended to give Sacramento fits over this season. The Kings have been a little bit known of a live by the three, die by the three type of team. You only have to look at tonight where, you know, you're going, you know, burying 18 threes, and obviously Keegan Murray had 8 of them. But the size that New Orleans plays with and the physicality just seems to really do a number on Sacramento. And you look at, we mentioned Domantas Sabonis and what he went through with the Warriors last year. Devon Looney. Well, look at obviously a guy like Zion Williamson, who may not play on Friday, but you have a guy like Zion Williamson and Jonas Valanciunas, who's just an absolute Bond villain. I mean, he looks like a Bond villain. He's such a physical force, and guys like that really disrupt Sabonis. So it's something that they know that they have to overcome. It came kind of played out a little bit in the in-season tournament earlier this year, and then again they get guys like Herb Jones and Trey Murphy III and C.J. McCollum just raining threes. And fortunately for Sacramento, they just played the Pelicans last week. And I think having a little bit of familiarity from a week's worth of preparation, carrying that over into Friday, I think they feel confident. And I think this win over the Warriors, that was one hurdle to get over. They were hoping, as Davion Mitchell told me after the game, they want this get back. They're glad that it's not the Lakers, who is a team that they've had ownership over in this past year. But they're looking forward to at least eliminating the Pelicans with an upset win on Friday in New Orleans and getting their first win over New Orleans this season.
Yeah, how much does that mean in terms of their development as a franchise and in terms of them getting to where the Warriors have been, being a championship contender, that they're not just winning, but they're beating teams that have had a fair amount of success against them?
Yeah, and it's funny because typically those are the teams that they actually play well against, or those teams that kind of they have quote unquote, no business meeting. They kind of rise to the level of their opposition. It's really, especially this season, has been those lower tier teams where all of a sudden they play to the level of the competition and that team kind of beats them. I think one of the things that really bothers this team is when the opposition is without their superstars. So if Zion Williamson, for whatever reason, with his hamstring injury, doesn't play on Friday, that almost is a perfect recipe for New Orleans to actually take care of business against Sacramento. But to your question, these are guys that are trying to show that they belong. You know, there's always this small market complex in Sacramento with the Kings, and you know they harp on these awards and recognition that maybe the national media tends to overlook at times. And you know, you're looking at a guy like Malik Monk. He's hurt right now, but probably weeks ago he was probably the runaway sixth man of the year, and now he's getting some opposition from guys like Naz Reid and Norm Powell. So the thought that Malik Monk not win sixth man of the year, even something as tertiary as that, Kings fans and even this organization really take that to heart. So when you're going up against the teams that have that level of success, kind of quieting the narrative and being able to disrupt the apple cart a little bit is something that they take very, very personally.
It's a nice mix with this team of guys who, as you point out, have the offensive side, the defensive side, or guys that go two ways, guys that come from all different places and have different backgrounds. And then the leadership of Mike Brown. And I think the last time you and I spoke, we talked about the impact of Mike having come from a place where they played championship basketball. So how close do you think they are to being able to compete with the best in the West?
Yeah, I still think they're pretty far off. I mean, obviously had the season come to an end tonight, it would have been tremendously disappointing. I think these fans here in this town the narrative might be, you know, the Kings beating the Warriors and ending their season, albeit nice, wasn't necessarily a series. It's just the one game. So keeping that in perspective of being in the ninth seed, and if they can get their way into the playoffs, would be nice, even with these injuries, because they've shown for the greater part of this season that they were right around a fifth or sixth seed. So to see them dip and kind of limp into this play-in tournament was certainly a disappointment. I'm curious to see how they'll define success this season and whether or not it will be a failure. And we all know that, look, success isn't a linear line. If you finished third in the West last year, doesn't mean that you improve upon that number. You can finish worse and maybe be situated to make even a more substantial playoff run. But for this team, I think they know that they've got a lot of their guys locked up long term. They wanted to see what this team looks like in a playoff series. And if they fall short of that, I think ultimately that'll be a disappointment. So I do think that this team is still very far from being able to contend. But I'll say this, Amy. Even if they're able to get into, and I know, you know, we've certainly seen teams like the Lakers last year and the Heat last year go to the Western Conference Finals and even the NBA Finals coming from a play-in tournament.
Right.
If Sacramento, even with their injuries, gets to a seven-game playoff series, especially against a team like OKC, who they've had a significant amount of success against really over the past 2 years, but really this year as well, I really think they'll be a tough out in a playoff series against really any team, including the likes of the Denver Nuggets, who they've had tremendous success against this year. So I think they're still far off from contending, but they'll be a tough out.
Still, though, the smiles on their faces toward the end of this game and post-game, I mean, they were huge.
This team was elated. Yeah, they realized, I think it's funny. It depends on who you talk to, right? Because, you know, I mentioned I had talked to Davion Mitchell. He had talked about just days ago how, oh, this is payback. We're going to get him back for the Game 7 loss here on the home floor where Steph Curry had that vintage point performance. And, the Warriors still showed that they still had something in the tank. And their little brothers here in Sacramento aren't ready quite yet to take over. Malik Monk, who is still a very vocal piece on this team, despite maybe being 2 weeks from returning from an MCL sprain, if they can advance that far, still talked about how, no, I'm telling them they need payback. They have payback. And then you get to talk about, you know, Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox, who are a little bit more political and just saying, no, it's a huge accomplishment, but we have loftier goals in mind, so they are a little bit more political. But you can tell, like you mentioned, those smiles on the faces of those players, to especially get over some of the hump, some of the adversity that they faced when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, because last season they were among the worst in the league. I think they were 28th overall, if I'm not mistaken. So This feels like really being able to overcome some of that adversity, show that you're evolving and improving, and Mike Brown is the one who's waving that kind of rallying cry, if you will.
So, Sean, you had a chance to see this game and the end of potentially the Warriors' core three. We don't know that for sure, but Klay Thompson's an unrestricted free agent. We know Chris Paul is due $30 million if he's on the roster at some point in June. That's not likely to happen. So we're at least going to see changes again for the Warriors. Klay, though, is the big piece. Has a really tough night, goes 0 for 10, including 0 for 6 from beyond the arc. What did you see with him toward the end of this game?
Yeah, I even tweeted a video because it was striking to see. First of all, yeah, 0 points, 0 of 10. I mean, I didn't think even Klay Thompson, who's on the other side of his peak, if you will, to see that type of performance was really, really jarring. And then to see him kind of, as he's heading towards the tunnel, he just kind of stops by the bench, and you can just see him kind of take it all in for a moment, and realizing the significance of the moment that this could be his last time with his team and in a Warriors jersey, and it didn't go the way he wanted, obviously. But does he go chase the bag? Does he go try and find one final payday? I was talking to some people who cover the Warriors a little bit closely, a little closer tonight. It's like, how could they keep it all together? How could it work? I mean, look, Joe Lacob is paying a ton in luxury tax. He was sitting courtside tonight. He looked absolutely miserable, and it wasn't even halftime yet. So I can't imagine how he was feeling after that game. But you're right, it feels like the end, although I would even argue that last year kind of felt like the end with Bob Myers leaving. But they know that they've re-upped Steve Kerr. You mentioned some of the hurdles they'd have to overcome. I think there's a belief that Klay Thompson might be able to settle for a two-year $60 million deal with the Warriors. What the luxury tax looks like, whether Chris Paul is still on the team, remains to be seen. But that might be one way to keep them. But if you're Klay Thompson, do you just think enough is enough and go and try to find your one last payday? Well, I guess we'll find out.
Definitely check out the video that Sean just referenced on his Twitter. In fact, we'll retweet it from our show account. But he's on Twitter at Sean, S-E-A-N, Cunningham. And yeah, it's pretty significant the way that Klay stops before he leaves the court. He's got a towel on his shoulders. He's already said his goodbyes. He looks around the arena, and he's got a look on his face like, man, I wonder what if, or I better take this all in. So great description from Sean. We appreciate that, and we'll share that for sure. From Fox 40 Sports. And Sean, it's good to talk to you. I know the Kings are not done. You'll have more work to do. Thanks so much for sharing your insight for a couple of minutes.
Oh, anytime. We're a fan of you out here, Amy. Love the show. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Sean. Have fun. Yeah, that video is. I mean, it's worth watching if you are a Warriors fan, or even if you're just a Klay Thompson fan, an NBA fan. You can tell that he is wearing it. He's carrying it. And whether or not it is the last time for him in the Bay Area, the last time wearing a Warriors uniform, certainly not the way that he would want to end any season, regardless of what's to come in the following months. But yeah, the way he stops and looks around and seems to just take it all in with his eyes one more time, it's significant. So we'll share that on our Twitter at Amy After Hours. That's also where you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which is not changing, comes up on this Hump Show edition of your favorite late night and overnight show on Facebook as well. Also the same After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, we still got a lot to do from the WNBA. I mean, the record interest carries over from women's college hoops and the Final Four and all the viewers to the WNBA draft. Never have we had so many people tune in to a WNBA draft. And there were some fun surprises, to be sure, like one of Caitlin Clark's teammates getting drafted when she wasn't expecting it. So we'll hear from Caitlin. Actually, she did an interview with, who was it?
Good Morning America.
Thank you. Okay, it wasn't on the sheet. Good Morning America. I was not awake at that time. But it was good to not only hear her, but see her smile. And she shares some humor about her SNL appearance. If you didn't see that, it was actually pretty cute. So we'll let you hear a little bit more from the number one overall draft pick, even as the WNBA tips off play next month. So she's got a lot on her plate. Plus, speaking of a lot on her or his plate, Travis Kelce has a new TV gig. Oh gosh, just wait. It's so perfect for Travis Kelce. It's not even funny. And speaking of the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes answers questions about Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown, though they are in decidedly different situations right now. So we'll get into a little bit of football because voluntary workouts are taking place. And no, the NFL is not allowed to make them mandatory, but label them voluntary. That's not how it works. I hope that you survived your Tuesday. We're ushering you forward through this middle portion of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Doors take us to summers away. Or winter adventures. And afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit Fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After Hours Podcast.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA Draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
Got a little anxious there before the pick, but I think more than anything, just grateful and lucky to have my family here, my friends over there, coaches up here. So I think just enjoying the moment. I've dreamed of this moment since I was in second grade, and it's taken a lot of hard work, a lot of ups and downs, but more than anything, just trying to soak it in.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
You know the voice now. In fact, even as I look up on the screen in front of me, there's a promo of Caitlin looking all fierce, crossing her arms like she's tough as the number one overall pick next to a logo of the Indiana Fever. And you've already heard, I'm sure, how the Fever have been selling tickets in a way that they've never seen before. Ticket prices had nearly doubled the last I saw. And if you're wondering about Caitlin Clark jerseys, well, it's going to be hard to find one. They have become the hottest ticket in sports memorabilia and sports merchandise. Already record setting, which is crazy. Highest selling jersey on draft night of any athlete in any sport in the history of the company Fanatics. What? That's according to Michael Rubin, the Fanatics CEO. Caitlin's jersey was the highest selling, the most in demand of any athlete on a draft night in Fanatics history. Except that it doesn't surprise me. Really, what happens now and what happens next, that's where the work is done. It is kind of funny, though. And I think great. Not funny as in ha-ha. Funny as in it makes me smile. That the likes of Caitlin Clark holding up her Indiana Fever jersey is paired with a photo of Trevor Lawrence with his draft night jersey of the Jaguars. Because that's what we're talking about. That her jersey sales surpassed Trevor Lawrence for the most ever on a draft night. And you hear her interviewed by Holly Rowe after she's picked number one overall. The draft held on ESPN, and the numbers were through the roof. Viewership peaked at more than 3 million people. Now, it'll pale in comparison to the NFL draft. I get that. But that's not the point. More than 3 million people tuned in at the highest point, most watched. It was 3 million people. For a WNBA draft that never had more than 600,000 before last night. That's the part that's critical. The audience, 4 times as many viewers as last year's draft. And the record goes back to Diana Taurasi when she was the number one draft pick overall. It was barely more than 600K, barely more than 600,000 in 2004. That's the previous record, 600,000 viewers. And on average, Monday night's draft was just under 2.5 million. So we had asked you on our show Twitter with a poll and then also on our Facebook page, did you watch past Caitlin Clark? Did you watch past her getting selected, or really the coronation of her as the number one overall pick? And a lot of you said you did. Some of you told me that you watched all the way through, that you were interested in Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso. Maybe you wanted to see what happened with Cameron Brink. And I think it got a lot of story or a lot of play too because of the Steph Curry and Sonya Curry connection. But that was just our audience. Some of you had to be snarky. Wait, that's on TV? The NBA, the WNBA still plays? Oh yeah. All of those things. And you can make as many jokes as you want, but right now, the WNBA will take all of this attention. And so will the Fever. And their ticket sales are unlike they've ever been before. Not to mention Fanatics. Really anything right now that's connected to Caitlin Clark, including Saturday Night Live. Did you all see over the weekend? Now, she had talked to us about her pretty frenetic schedule. That might be putting it mildly, since the Final Four. They flew home from Cleveland. She said she drove directly from Iowa City to have dinner at her mom's, or dinner with her parents. She spent the night. She drove back the next day. They had the big celebration for the seniors in which they announced they were retiring her number. That was a Wednesday night, if I remember correctly. 7,000 people on hand. And from that point, she said, I flew to LA. And then I flew to New York. Back and forth doing interviews. But finding time for Caitlin Clark, in which she took aim at another host for his sexist jokes.
I am a fan, Caitlin, by the way.
Really, Michael? Because I heard that little apron joke you did.
Well, yeah, it was a joke. We're just having fun, you know?
You make a lot of jokes about women's sports, don't you, Michael?
I wouldn't say a lot, but, you know, it's not on the regular.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a lot. I actually sort of made a supercut. Take a look.
Well, no, we don't have to do that.
A number of sports bars around the country are promising to only show women's basketball games during March Madness. The bars are known collectively as the Empty Ones. Iowa's Final Four game against UConn was the most watched women's college basketball game ever, with 14.2 million viewers, beating the previous record by 14.2 million viewers.
The receipts. Thanks, man.
No problem. You know, unlike Che, I support women.
Whoa!
Good for you, Caitlin Clark, and good for the SNL crew putting that series of clips together from Michael Che with his sexist jokes. Now, I get it. There are a lot of people who are making those types of jokes. I wouldn't say that every type of every joke at the expense of women's sports or men's sports is either sexist or chauvinist or has anything to do with gender. Sometimes they're just jokes. But it's awesome that Clark was on hand and that she was able to draw a few laughs, and she deadpanned it. She did a great job. But apparently she was pretty nervous, as she tells Good Morning America.
I was so nervous. I've never been so nervous for something in my life. Basketball on the national stage, easy, but that was like, before they rolled me into the set, I was like, my heart was like pounding out of my chest, but it went okay.
She said basketball on the national stage, easy. Oh yeah, that's because she has learned how to deal with pressure.
I feel like it's something that just comes with it, and honestly, I don't feel a lot of it. I think it's kind of just come with how I've carried myself and how I've, you know, gone about my business every single day, and I think that's what I try to do the most. But at the same time, like, I always remind myself, like, this is a team sport. I have a lot of people to rely on, and then outside of basketball, like, I always rely on my friends and my family to be there and support me. So I think those are the biggest things. Like, I never really, at times you can definitely feel the weight of the world on your shoulders, but more than anything, like, to me, like, this is fun. Like, it's a game. Like, just enjoy it. Like, how lucky am I?
So far, there's not a whole lot that she said that doesn't make you like her even more, because she always talks about her teammates, one of whom got drafted on Monday night when she was there to support Caitlin. Wasn't sure she'd hear her name called, but she did. She always talks about the relationship with her coach. She is constantly going team, 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 not I, me, me, as much as she's the driving force. And it's clear that she's knowledgeable about the others in the game. She's complimentary. She's humble. And I think the reason that she doesn't trip up, quote unquote, is because this is her. Maybe she changes over the years. I don't know. Steph Curry didn't. And I know you are probably laughing or snickering, maybe even sneering about my comparison, but there's a lot of parallels between her skyrocketing to superstardom before she ever hits the pro ranks and Steph Curry's introduction to superstardom as a skinny little sophomore, sorry, Steph, at Davidson, who shot the lights out in the NCAA tournament. I mean, do you guys remember how the jersey hung off of him? He doesn't even look like the same guy anymore. But we were captivated by the way he could shoot the basketball. We were captivated by the handles. Not the love handles, the other handles. It was phenomenal to watch him play. The nation followed along as Davidson got to the Elite Eight. He went back to school. They made another run to the NCAA tournament. And the love affair was born with Steph Curry. And he's gotten into the pros. And here's the thing. People wonder if Caitlin will succeed as well at the pro level. And there's no guarantee. She's got to stay healthy. But talent is talent. Basketball knowledge, basketball IQ, court vision, that translates on any level. It doesn't matter if you're playing against 18-year-olds, as Diana Taurasi wants to point out, or if you're playing against the best in the world. She's done some USA basketball camps. She's been part of USA Juniors. She's played against really good talent. But her passing and her court vision aren't going to go away because she's playing at the next level. Steph Curry struggled when he first got into the NBA. It's not that he forgot how to shoot, but he was little. And there were a lot of physical guards who were ready to take aim at him and play physical with him. That was the scouting report on Steph Curry. Body him up, bump him, push him around, make him work his ass off. The shot will go away. Or he'll get hurt. And do you remember he had foot issues early in his NBA career? But he got to the point where he was stronger, he was more durable, and I know he's had some freak injuries, but the pounding that he's taken over the course of his career, and he's still out there, and his career has been nothing short of marvelous. It's been record-setting. He's a Hall of Famer. I don't know that Caitlin Clark will be a Hall of Famer, But I do know that she's got all the tools that she needs, not to mention the support of people around her, family, friends, teammates, coaches. And she relies on them, as she said there on Good Morning America. At the very least, she has everything she needs. There's no such thing as a sure thing in sports because injuries and everything else. But she's got the right perspective, and that can make all the difference. And so, yeah, it was kind of cool. We told you on our last show that Kate Martin and a few other teammates and friends made the trip to Brooklyn. They were in the stands. They bought tickets, or they had tickets given to them, but they were sitting in the balcony and they were there to support Caitlin. And she ends up hearing her name get called when the Las Vegas Aces draft 18th. So it was early in the second round. And as you can imagine, Lisa Bluter, who was also there on hand, was thrilled for both of her former Hawkeyes.
We're so happy for Caitlin and her family, but what a blessing that Kate Martin was here. Caitlin brought some of her teammates here to be with her, and then Kate.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Martin's name is called, and for her to be here and enjoy this, what, it's just an unbelievable memory for her. She's very versatile. She can really play a number of different positions, which I think is going to bode well for her. But it's her work ethic. It's her leadership in the locker room. I mean, everybody needs a Kate Martin on their team, and I think that's what's going to bode well for her.
Just as a side note, it just popped into my brain. Can you imagine how happy Caitlin is for Kate? I mean, she's absorbed so much of the attention. She carries it well, of course. She's always spoken so highly of not just her teammates. She calls them her best friends. And she brings them along to the draft. They probably were hoping that Kate would hear her name called, but there was no guarantee. Caitlin's moment, it happens. Everybody's there to support her. The place goes nuts. There's 1,000 people at this theater. By the way, they sold out tickets very quickly. Probably could have sold out the Barclays if they had the opportunity to move it there in Brooklyn. And then I hope Caitlin wasn't doing an interview. I hope that she was able to participate in being so happy for her teammate who also got her name called. That's awesome. I can imagine if it were me, how thrilled I'd be. that I get to share that with Kate. So that's cool. All right, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything on our show Twitter, at Amy After Hours. How to change the name, how to get rid of the CBS. I don't know who took After Hours. We're going to have to figure out. Maybe we can make a deal. It's like a jersey swap. Hey, will you let us use at After Hours if we give you some After Hours swag?
It's a fair trade.
I feel like that's a really fair trade. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Travis Kelce's got a new gig. It's not his podcast. The New Heights podcast is going strong, I suppose. I don't listen in the off season, but he's got a new TV gig, and I'm telling you, this fits him to a T.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Crosser, Kelce, 30-yard line, 25. Kelce at the 20, 15 and out of bounds at the San Francisco 10-yard line. A 23-yard pickup with 9 seconds to go in the game.
Man, I'll tell you what, man. I'm gonna go ahead and enjoy this one. And everything that just happened, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that I've been able to go through three times now. And, man, it gets sweeter and sweeter every time, baby.
You gotta fight!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, classic Travis Kelce and the Chiefs Radio Network. Boy, did he surge toward the end of the season. You may remember on his New Heights podcast with brother Jason, he was lamenting how crappy, I'm paraphrasing, they were playing. All of the offense was playing, or all the receivers were performing, or not, I should say, for Patrick Mahomes. But they got it together after that Christmas Day embarrassment against the Raiders. They were able to find their footing. Maybe that spurred them on. It kind of broke them to the point where they realized it's either put up or shut up. We're about to go out in a ball of flames if we don't get our act together, which they did. And once they did, they never lost again. Can they three-peat? Someone asked me that question on our Facebook page as a part of Ask Amy Anything. You know I have zero clue. Can they? Yes. Will they? I don't know. So send your questions to our show Twitter at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page. It's got an ugly, distended logo right now that's kind of cut off. You can't even really read it. I got to fix it. I'm sorry. I'll get to it. It's been a crazy start to the week. For Travis Kelce, he's got a little time in the offseason, and so he's decided to add something new to his repertoire. Kelce and Amazon have come to an agreement to cooperate, coexist on a new edition of Are You Ready? The TV show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Stop it.
It's so perfect for Travis Kelce. It's so perfect. So, yes, Prime Video just announced on Tuesday that Kelce is the new host. And it's a play on that original hit. So it's probably not going to be fifth graders. It's going to be celebrities, right? So it's like a spinoff version of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, but with celebrities.
I was kind of more into watching Travis Kelce do battle in trivia against fifth graders, but
that would be great. In fact, I think they should have some celebrity fifth graders.
That would be amazing.
Or maybe that's the way that it goes. You bring in kids to see if they're smarter than a celebrity,
or
like Travis
kids?
Kelce. Or celebrities' kids. Or Taylor Swift. Do you think she'll make a cameo? Gosh. Mm. As much as many of you are annoyed by all of the updates or the shots of her in a game, which lasted all of 13 seconds of your life that you'll never get back, I'm telling you, outside of the football world, people cannot get enough. Everywhere they go, everything they do, everything that's on social media, every video, every interaction. I keep up with pop culture to a point. And so I read TV websites and I look at people, headlines and that kind of stuff. It's every day. Every day they're enjoying their time at Coachella, in case you were wondering.
I saw a headline yesterday. It was, can we expect wedding bells soon for Travis and Taylor?
Right. Right, of course. Anyway, Travis Kelce, who's kind of busy, but not as busy as he will be in a couple months, has been signed to host Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity, which is a spinoff of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader. And this is his statement. I grew up loving game shows, and I'm excited to be following in the footsteps of so many TV icons by hosting my very first one with Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity. The original show is a great success, so to be bringing a new format with everyone's favorite celebrities to the screen will definitely be entertaining. I'm just happy to be on the hosting side and excited to see how these famous faces keep up. Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? You know the question is going to be, will Taylor Swift be one of the celebrities? Because they're going to have the celebrity that's the not the guinea pig, but the test subject, if you will.
It's his thing.
Right?
Let him have his own thing.
Oh, okay. Let him have his own thing. Like football, you mean? It's after hours.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.